journey toward Great and Holy Pascha. And the Canaanite woman teaches us really about prayer, about relentless prayer, persistent prayer. In the time of our journey toward Great Lent, we'll be in a time of intensified prayer. So it's good for us just to pause a little bit and learn from her about this focus, desperation, prayer that's kind of grows out of this desperation, out of love for her daughter. We often pray and we wonder why God doesn't answer. God doesn't answer all of our prayers, yes, it's always true. But sometimes we just give up too easily, or we don't pray with the belief that God not just can but will change things in our life. And this is expressed in a kind of paradoxical way by a desert father, Sosoes. The story is told about him. He had a disciple named Abraham, who would later become Abraham. And he was tempted by Satan, and it says he fell into sin. And Abba Sosoes, having seen this, stood to pray, and he said, "Lord, whether you will or whether you will not, I do not know, but I will not cease praying until you heal him." And it says immediately, Abraham was healed. Then we might say paradoxically, because you might think, well, he didn't persist very long. But I think the point of the story is that God knew what Sosoes said was true. He was going to stand there and pray until he collapsed, until he died. Because he loved this disciple so much. Because he was not going to let God rest. Actually, I think that's what the text says. I will not let you rest. Won't give God rest. The only thing you're going to hear from my mouth is heal this brother of mine. So there's this profound sense of cultivating in us a kind of a relentless, persistent, almost desperate prayer for those things that are genuinely important in our lives. And one of the interesting things about these two examples is that neither the Canaanite woman nor Abba Sosoes were praying for themselves. I often think in prayer that we ought to be focused on ourselves, not on others. But they both weren't. They were bound by this person that they loved. And that relationship was, for them, this call, relentless commitment to prayer. St. Anthony, Abba Anthony, says that life and death are from our neighbor. And he goes on to say, if you gain your brother, you gain God. But if you scandalize your brother, you sin against Christ. And so this Canaanite woman and Abba Sosoes experienced this. Their own salvation, their own gaining of God comes through their great love for their neighbor. The Canaanite woman for her daughter, and Abba Sosoes for his disciple. And that great love is expressed in a profound prayer, not in the case of Sosoes especially. You could imagine him being critical or judgmental, or saying, "Well, if you can't resist the temptation, then this monastic life's not for you. Go back out into the world." Could have chastised him with some terribly difficult obedience or punishment for his sins, but his love for him was expressed with this relentless and unceasing prayer. In the case of the Canaanite woman, of course, her daughter was possessed by a cruel demon. Some manifested itself, I'm sure, in some terribly painful physical way, material way. In the case of Abba Sosoes, the problem was a spiritual problem, a fall, a sin. We don't know what it was. And the church takes the Canaanite woman's the daughter, the way it takes almost all of the healings in the Gospels as really indications of our spiritual life, and that that's what really needs healing. God will heal time, people from time to time physically, but they're still going to get sick and die. But the healing that we really need to yearn for and long for is the healing of our souls, healing of the souls of our loved ones. We have that in the Agathos that we do to Jesus Christ that we did this morning every Sunday. There's a reference to the Canaanite woman, and the prayer goes, "I have no daughter but my flesh, which is cruelly possessed by sin, and I'm burning with rage." So this is an awareness that our own inner lives are afflicted by these demonic influences, by our passions. This is what needs to be prayed for in our own lives and the lives of our neighbors. There's another saying from Abba Anthony. It says, it was revealed to him that there was going to come a time when men would be enraged. It's often translated mad, like crazy mad, but it's being enraged. You're crazy and mad because you're so enraged. Something has happened that so inflames you that you become uncontrollably enraged. And it says that these men that are so uncontrollably enraged are going to look at people who are not enraged, and they're going to say, "You're enraged because you're not like me. I'm the normal one. I'm enraged and I'm normal, and you're not like me, so you must really be enraged. I think I'm the calm." Father Tom Hopko often used to refer to this text, and he would say, "I think that we've now entered that time, the time that St. Anthony predicted." I remember him saying that back in the mid-90s, and it seems like things were calm then. And I think that what's so profoundly true about St. Anthony's statement is that the way that I see the world is that I see a lot of other people enraged, but I don't see myself enraged. That's much harder to do. So I fulfilled his prophecy. I say those other people aren't like me. We don't know the sin of the disciple Abraham, but maybe he was enraged. Maybe he did something very unkind, rude, very belittling to another one of the brothers. Maybe he was enraged, lost his temper, hurt someone. The right response was of the Sassoids, to pray for him. Maybe the way that we really know that we're not enraged is if we devote our lives with this relentless, persistent, ceaseless prayer for our world that is being so enraged. But if we just go about our life as if nothing's really happening and we have our evaluations of it, then how are we any different? So we're called to pray in this way that seems so extreme to us, that really has a realization, a focus, a clarity that the spiritual world is the world that really matters, and that the spiritual world is really the only world which can bring about lasting and true and genuine change. And this is expressed quite beautifully in one final characteristic of the Canaanite woman, is humility. And that humility is expressed by her being willing to be humiliated by Christ. And receive it without even caring. bread is not just bread for the children, not for the dogs. She says even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. She loved her daughter so much, she didn't care if somebody called her a dog. She'll embrace it. She's not going to stop crying out out of love for her daughter. Abba Anthony, in another saying was shown to him, he looked out and he saw the wars. It means the spiritual wars, spiritual battles. His eyes were opened up to the spiritual realm. We're blind to that, but he was given his vision to see the intensity of the spiritual battle, and he was overwhelmed, and he exclaimed, what can make its way through this? How can you pass through this life with that intensity of spiritual battle? And he says he heard the word humility. That's how. That's how we're called to live in this life, and that's what's required of true prayer, a prayer that's not just relentless, persistent, desperate, but so much so that we're willing to become nothing for the other person. We're willing to be crushed and trampled upon for the good of our brother. We're willing to lose our life. Greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his brother. So the love that we're called to cultivate, that the Canaanite woman expressed and that Abba Sisois expressed, is this love that's born out of this tremendous humility that is not focused on ourselves, focused on those that God places in our lives, those around us, and manifests itself with such a profound love that we can't stop praying for them because we know that the only real solution to their lives, to our world, is a spiritual solution. And we also know that the only place that we'll really find life is in the expression of that love for our neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.